Certainly look forward to being in the house of God, around the people of God. I need His touch. I desire Your prayers. So Lord, help me this morning. If you got your Bible, turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 15, the book of Proverbs, chapter 15. And we'll begin reading verse 1. As the Bible says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Our Father, this morning, I want to pray and ask You, Lord, to help me. I pray and ask You, Lord, that You please move in the midst of this service, this day, this teaching hour. I pray, God, You touch them that are standing. I pray, God, that You give a touch on their heart. And, Lord, give them in their heart and their mind, Lord, what You'd have them to say. I pray, God, You continue to help us this morning. I ask You, Lord, to be in the midst and draw us closer to Thee. I ask You, Lord, also, if there's anyone here this morning that might be walking lost in this world, I pray, God, that You touch their heart and draw them unto Yourself as only You can. I pray, God, this morning, have Your will and way, that You might be pleased and honored. And, Father, we'll thank You, for it is in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I kind of struggled with this a little bit, not necessarily on the meaning of, but just how things are happening in the world today, I mean, and how things have come to pass. And we see so much sin, so much profound actions on part of people today that seem to really expound on this a little bit. And especially the latter part of that verse in verse 1 of chapter 15, it says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. You know, and I had to really kind of think on that. I mean, we kind of have an understanding of what that term soft answer means. We have a generalized understanding. But if you really look at it, and as far as a text type of thinking, meaning mild words, gentle expressions delivered with kindness and humility. Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody has a tendency to get up in my face or have a little bit of some harsh words towards me, it tends to stir up something in me that's not quite so humble or kind. I know I'm not by myself on that, but the Bible says that a soft answer turneth away wrath. Now, if we take into account some different things that's going on in the world today, now a lot of these protests and a lot of these things that's happened, it doesn't take much of a spark or of a conversation. It really doesn't take much at all to really turn people's hearts toward wrath. And I can't help but see that so much, and it's magnified in this day. Nobody has a humbled heart anymore. And I'm not talking about the church in general, but I'm talking about just the world as a whole. I mean, granted, these are words of God that are put out for and put forth to help the church and His people. But in a general laid out sense, it can also be a help and a blessing to those in the world. Because 9 times out of 10, now the church is going to have people that's going to have those grievous words towards the church or towards mine or your lifestyle. And it's going to want to stir up anger within yourself. But the thing of it is, as the church, now I'm generally speaking, as the church, we ought to be able to look at that first part of the verse, a soft answer turneth away wrath. We ought to be able to stand and proclaim God's word as it is. And I'm going to give you an example of that here in just a moment. But I want to really expound on the latter part of that, grievous words, as far as a text, a definition, so to speak. Grievous words meaning rough and meaning menacing, scornful and sneering, reproachful and reviling, proud, haughty, and overbearing. Now, I don't know if you can see some of that within yourself, but I see a lot of that in myself sometimes, especially when people tend to get kind of overbearing on me. I tend to have that spirit about me. And I'm not saying this just to stir up anything. I'm just saying that I need general application of this verse within my own life. And if I need it, a general application within my own life, I know I'm not by myself. The thing about it is, I've learned throughout some of the years that I've been walking with God, and there's been times I've fell by the wayside and went, got in the ditch and everything. But I have seen that a lot of times a person such as myself will reflect onto somebody else, or vice versa. We don't realize how much we can affect one another in our attitudes and our actions and what we say and what we do. Just as I can come into the house of God on a Sunday morning and have a downtrodden, a reproachful, a reviled, that reviling spirit, and have it in my heart, I can have that going on within myself, and it can be cast upon you without me saying anything. That's right. Just because of my countenance.
That's right.
Now, I'm learning that, and generally I have a hard time, you know, controlling, and I really have to ask the hand of God to come upon me. But as a church, as a whole, we ought to be able to see that within ourselves and pray to God and ask for that soft answer, that peaceful, gentle spirit be brought upon us. You know, it's not only just in as far as conversations speak, but within your attitude. Have you ever had a point in time where you've been upset or mad about something and somebody took it the wrong way and it tended to come back that they ended up getting mad at you because they thought you were mad at them? And it tends to put strife and a lot of tension in between. Now that same thing, and see, no words had to be uttered between the two. That's the thing. And that can happen just walking in the door back there and somebody having that grievous spirit upon themselves. You never know what that can cast on somebody or how that can affect somebody.
Sure.
Now think about this too. Going to somebody's house. If you're going and knocking on doors and trying to encourage people to come into the house of God and hear the Word of God preach, and they come out there, well, I don't want to hear nothing like that, and you tend to get a little bit puffed up, and how do you think that's going to affect their outlook on the church and what you're supposedly trying to invite them into? I've been there. I understand that. I mean, I've had people, you know, we get on a back road somewhere and get lost. I've had people pull up and basically cuss us out because we didn't know where we was at. You know, maybe we got in a place where we didn't need to be. And that tends to have a little stirring going on up inside of my heart. I don't know about you, but that made me a little upset. And I literally had to bow my head right then and there and say, Lord, help me, because of what it stirred in me. But all we had to do was turn around and say, sir, we're leaving to point us in the right direction. And that's what we did. And that's just a hand in the grace of God. But, you know, at that point, said, sir, we're going which to point us in the right direction. And all of a sudden, that little bit of spirit, that spirit of that person changed immediately. But if we would have come back with the same kind of answer, that same kind of grievous spirit, it would have just been backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards. It just continually escalating and escalating and escalating. And we see that today in the society we live in. It's just an exchange of grievous spirit upon grievous spirit, backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards. And yet we see today what the outcome is. And see, at this point in time, that's when as the church ought to be acting more so than what we are. We ought to be standing up and bringing forth that soft answer. Which I'll give you, I, you know what the where the soft answer lies? Right here. And I've learned so many times, and I still have a problem with this, but I've learned so many times that you can turn a person's spirit that has a lot of grievous or that anger within them, if they bring forth the Word of God, a lot of times there's nothing they can refute. They can't say anything. And it tends to calm them down and say, Lord, if they have an understanding or any kind of knowledge of the Word of God at all, it will help them. But if you want to, let's take a look at that real quick. We'll turn to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 8. We'll go into the book of Judges chapter 7, and we'll continue on in that chapter 8. But the book of Judges, chapter number 7, verse number 23, and the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all of Ephraim, saying, "Come down against the Midianites, and take before them the waters unto Bethbara in Jordan." And all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters unto Bethbara and Jordan. And they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb, and they slew Oreb upon the rock of Oreb, and Zeb they slew at the winepress of Zeb, and pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side of Jordan. Chapter 8, verse 1 says, "And the men of Ephraim said unto him, Why hast thou served us thus, that thou calledest us not? And when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites, and they did chide with him sharply," meaning they tended to scold him. They scolded him for not calling them unto the battle, or calling them unto to go after the Midianites. Verse number 2 says, "And he said unto them, What have I done in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God hath delivered unto your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeb, and what was I able to do in comparison of you?" Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. Now, did you catch that? That soft answer there? That my actions were nothing compared to yours? It would have just been easy enough for him to say, "Well, it wasn't for me to call you. I didn't have to call you. I didn't have to do anything." It would have been so easy for him to sit there and continue on with that same type of spirit, but yet he come back and said, "My actions were not of any comparison to yours." In other words, he gave that soft answer and abated, as it says there in the Word of God, it abated their anger. It broke it. It broke their spirit. That spirit of anger and that grievous spirit upon them was broken just by a soft answer and what he said. It's amazing to me how their actions, how their outward appearance, how their countenance, and how just a simple phrase. You know, you can take the same phrase, "I love you," and say it so many ways just in how you say it as far as your countenance. You can say it with a spirit that will break somebody's heart. You know, somebody comes up and say, "I love you."
"Yeah, I love you."
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't say "I love you," but it's still, the words are there, but the actions and the countenance say something different. So, I mean, in this day that we live, the idea of communication one to another, we ought to be tactful in what we say, what we do not say, how we carry ourselves, or how we present the gospel, and how we present ourselves and our opinions. Which a lot of times our opinions are based off of gospel, but a lot of times our opinions are self-centered. I have learned that. I don't know about y'all, but I literally highly have to depend upon the Word of God on what I say and what I do, which I fail at that. Don't get me wrong. Because if I depend on myself, what I think is right or what I believe to be right, if it's not based on what the Word of God says, and it's based on what I believe or think, it's too easy for me to take in my own mind and say some things that's going to hurt somebody's feelings. Right. And I'm not talking about, you know, purposely going out there and trying to hurt somebody's feelings, but, you know, we need to really depend upon the Word of God, because His Word, if we do it in His words and His ways, regardless of whether or not it does tends to cause a divide, it does tend to bring forth a spirit on some people sometimes, you know, that they think we're putting things out, and people think we're right all the time. that we think we're number one if we bring forth the Word of God, but it's really not us, it's the Word of God. And sooner or later, that tends to strike people's hearts and bring them low. I mean, I remember that day when I got saved. I mean, how can that man say anything about what I'm doing? I know some things in his life wasn't right. But sooner or later, the hammer of God come down on my heart and showed me it didn't matter what about that man, what he said or what he did. That soft answer. Granted, the Word of God might have some hard truths, might be a hard pill to swallow sometimes, but sometimes whenever that pill sinks in and I'm using an analogy here, but whenever that medication gets into a person's body, you can feel it go throughout. When the Word of God is absorbed into the person's body and in their mind, eventually it'll be a little harsh at first, but sooner or later it's going to start doing what it needs to do and breaking the man or woman down. It will humble them. And it will either drive them away and they'll run, or they'll be broken and they'll seek after God. And I haven't really seen much of anybody running. Now don't get me wrong, I have a tendency to be a little bit like the children of Israel. I tend to have a little rebellion here in my heart every now and then. It tends to show up. Sooner or later, you know, I've seen where the children of Israel had to go through normally a four-stage type of lifestyle throughout their entire existence. And it's repeated itself over and over and over and over again. That rebellious spirit tends to come in. Then there's retribution, meaning there's chastisement, there's a straightening out, and then there's repentance, and then there's restoration. And all of it, I mean, and all of it can be traced back to the Word of God. Because that rebellion tends to be that little bit of a grievous answer or that grievous spirit within us. Going against God because God's pointed something out or God has not done some things that we wanted or brought about some changes in our life or changes that we wanted to come to pass. We tend to rebel a little bit. Or we didn't get what we wanted, in other words. And sooner or later, God, I mean, like a child of God should be, there's going to be that retribution. There's going to be some chastisement on the heart of that individual. And there's going to be those soft words brought on that says, "My child." I don't know about you, but every time I've ever been chastised, God called me by name and referred to me as His child. And reaffirmed that within my own heart. And brought me low. So that grievous spirit was tending to be driven away. And I had to repent. You know, I've seen that so often as well. That if a person has that grievous spirit on their heart, and those soft words tend to come apart, there's going to be some sort of repentance. And I don't mean just in the person that's going to say, "I'm sorry," and going by the way, but there's going to be a brokenness about the person. There's going to be, and that's just a general sense. I'm not talking about just in one avenue for being salvation, but in a conversation you can have with your family members or whatever. But it also tends to mirror how a person tends to be saved in their life. How the Word of God will come on somebody that's got a hard heart and soften them and abate their anger and abate that rebellious spirit. And break them and show them what they are, where they need to be, and call them. That's an amazing thing right there, isn't it? How God will take and give us something that's so simple, a soft answer turneth away wrath. That spirit of wrath is born in us as in the flesh. It's part of us. It's something we have to deal with every day. I see that in my own son. He doesn't get what his way, son. He's going to flail his arms. He's going to bow his back and throw a hissy fit. And that's not something I taught him. It's something that's in there naturally. So it seems to me that this scripture here, a soft answer, turn the way around, that is not only just something that we need to practice, but it's a necessity in order for us to really have the power of God. I mean, we want, as a church now, I mean, honestly, as a church, I believe we need to be walking in this soft answer, this soft spirit, this soft spoken, this spirit, look back at the definition, mild words, gentle expressions delivered with kindness and humility. In other words, we need to be walking in that kindness and humility. We need to be walking and talking in a way that delivers what we say in a spirit of meekness, kindness, and humility. And people need to see that. In other words, if God is ever going to move on our families and our loved ones and people that we're praying for, we need to walk in that grievous, that outside that grievous spirit that they, because as a man who's got a lot of family that's walking lost in this world, it breaks my heart to see how some things are going in their life and what they're doing and what their choosings or their choices are in their life. I mean, it really, it breaks my heart. Sometimes it hurts me in a way that it makes me mad. Because there's people, they know right. That's the problem. They know right and they don't do it. But I mean, it's not in them to do it. You know, and a lot of times I've noticed we have a tendency to want to chastise people when they're not necessarily walking the way we think they ought to walk. And they're not God's people. It ain't for, I mean, we're children. We're not the parent. We shouldn't be the one chastising anyway. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't have a spirit to go out and try and rebuke somebody if God lays that on your heart, but it better be in the spirit of God and it better be in the spirit of humility. Verse number 2 says, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Ain't that something right there? It goes right along. Verse number 1, verse number 2, line right up next to one another. God has a tendency to help us as we grow. I know within myself that my son, as he grows, he's not just going to automatically know everything that I know. That's knowledge and abilities that I'm going to have to teach him and pass on to him. Just as much as I know, God is going to have to teach us and help us to be able to use knowledge. He's going to give us knowledge, but we have to seek him. We have to acknowledge him in all things. So, in other words, here, verse, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright. That tongue in the Bible, how is it described in other places? It's described as a double-edged sword, am I correct? In other words, it can cut both ways. It can cut deeper than anything that you can possibly have as a natural weapon today. It can pierce flesh without actually causing a blood-filled wound. It can do a lot of damage. Without you moving, you don't even have to take a step, and that tongue can cause a lot of damage in a person. This happened to me on more than one occasion. I've had a lot of people say some things or do some things that was very hurtful. You know, whereas, and a lot of it comes back, now this is, I'm not talking about family or friends, I can understand that's going to come, but I'm talking about from church members. Not here, but I mean in the past. When all a person would have to do, it says here that a tongue of a wise useth knowledge aright. In other words, we can have that ability and take the word of God and twist it in our own kind of way, but a wise man is going to be tactful in what he says, what he does, and how he acts, where he goes. I mean, do you think it was in Gideon's best interest to sit there and rebuke the children of Ephraim? Do you think it would have helped him if he would have just snapped back at them rather than contrary what he did? But do you think he actually used wisdom in what he said and how he presented himself and what he brought forth? I've also understood too that where it says the mouth of the fools poureth out foolishness. I've also seen people, a church, now quote unquote church members, drive away, cause division inside the church. Right. Whereas the tongue of the wise will inspire people to become to come together. Unity. So I've had a hard time trying to really, I understand it and I see it in my mind, but I have a hard time really describing it. Because of what I have done in the past, I know within myself that what I say can drive a man out that door and never come back. So a lot of times I don't say anything. Say any bad thing. But also, sometimes I've seen where people just come in here automatically, straight out that back, that come in the back door. Did you see such and such? Did you hear about such and such? I mean, does that seem like a spirit that's going to be causing or instilling unity inside the church? Or is it going to be more or less one of them things that's going to drive a stake right down the middle? You know, the old adage, you know, united we stand, divided we fall. That's, you know, that's still true today.
Yeah.
Now, if you look back in Judges chapter 7, Gideon went up against the Midianites with only 300 men. At first, he had into the multi-thousands. And God sent some away. Then he come back and said, there's still too many. And he still caused another division. I shouldn't say division, but he sent another group away. And all that was left to stand was 300. And God used 300 in that instance. Granted, we have a tendency sometimes to want to look at what we do and what we say. Well, I done. You know, when we look at chapter 15, verse number 1 and verse number 2, the soft answer, that tongue of the wise, that's not of man. Wisdom is not of man in itself anyway. Wisdom is given of God. And we have the ability to call on God and look to God and trust God and what He says and what He does in our life. We can put that forth in our countenance and what we say and what we do, and it can either cause unity, it can cause or division, it can cause anger and strife, or it causes humility and a broken or repentant heart. We really don't acknowledge how much of what we say and what we do, our attitudes can affect somebody. But the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Now, you could honestly look at a lot of what's going on in today's society and say that is true. I mean, without a doubt. The ideal, the moniker, I guess you could say, the characteristic of of common sense is non-existent within the society as a whole today. And yet, we have our leadership. We have pastors, we've got governments, we've got things that's going on in this world today, and all they do is spit out foolishness, and a lot of people eat that up and lap it up like it's going out of style, like it's candy. And yet we have the Word of God, and I'm talking about within the church as well. I've seen it more so than not that people come in and want to talk more about politics and what's going on in the world today, and I know I've mentioned it from the pulpit as far as an example, but that's their main motivation to come in and talk about these things. But if we have a spirit, I mean, if truly, if we have a spirit of humility, a spirit that soft answer is walking, is in us, and that tongue of the wise is in us, we're going to want to come in and seek and come in quietly, sit down and be ready to take a little bit out of the Word of God. But if our inclinations are not towards God and not towards the Word of God, and that soft answer and that tongue of the wise is not in us, you're gonna walk in that back door talking more about everything else.
Right.
And yet we wonder why the power of God is not in the church house today.
Right.
Why the power of God is not falling on our government and our loved ones today. I mean, we're called to pray for those over us, are we not?
Sure.
But yet we're going to come in and grumble and gripe and complain, and don't get me wrong, I'm right there with you. But that just shows that we're not really praying like we ought to. We're not bringing forth that soft answer like we ought to. Because, I mean, even with our conversations toward God, we can go to God and have that grievous spirit and not that soft answer about us. And it can still cause you to be driven away from God. And that's your own actions. That's you pulling away from God. Not only can it can hurt you at your home within your personal life, it can hurt you in the church house within your workplace, but it can also hurt you within your walk with God. Yes. You know, think about it. Think about those two men, the scribe and the Pharisee. The man, when he went back, the Pharisee was sitting there praying, "Thank you, Lord, for me not being as other men." Think about that for just a minute there. Yet the scribe was down there with his head bowed, smoking his own chest, saying, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Now, which one do you think actually got a little message out to God, had a little bit of time with God there? A brokenness or that soft answer. "Oh, wretched man," that really is. I guess you can look at that as a soft answer. But within our own life, we can have that grievous spirit. And I've seen this. I've actually tried to pray in anger. It ain't going to work. You're not going to have any fellowship with God. You're not going to have any kind of meeting with God in that spirit of anger. The only time, and see, the thing about it is, within ourselves, if you'd really look at that within a mirror, and see, look at yourself in the mirror and say, "There's that spirit of anger, and I see nothing but Christopher Messick." And yet you walk up and you look at yourself within the mirror, the Word of God, and see yourself in that soft nature using the tongue of the wise. And what are you going to see? You're going to see the Spirit of God within yourself. I mean, think about that too. When the devil tempted God, he said, "Get thou behind me, Satan." Do you think that was just kind of, he could exchange grievous words just like anybody else, and done nothing but generate a spirit of arrogance and grievousness? But we ought to be able to say, "Get thou behind me, Satan." Yeah. It really does matter how you carry yourself, or how you speak, or what you say, and in how you say it, it really does matter. I know within myself, I've seen it done time and time again, that we have a tendency to want to burn somebody's hide. Instead of having a broken heart for a person, we'd rather tear up their hide rather than have a broken heart and want to pray for somebody. Verse number 3, and I'll stop there. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. In other words, if you come in here and you have that Holy Spirit, if you have that spirit, that grievous spirit within you, you can't hide that. Other people in here, you might be able to hide it from some of these people that's in here, but you won't hide it from God. You might have a broken heart for somebody, and God knows all about it. And you could sit there in your own little place, not have to bring it up here, not have to request prayer. And yet sometimes you will need to, but God knows all about it. Don't think we can just, if we have that in ourselves and we don't acknowledge it, don't think we can just ignore it and it'll just go away. If somebody has said something that's broken your heart and gotten you out of place, don't think it's just going to fix itself. I'm not saying we ought to bring forth anything and go after people. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we ought to be able to make things right. We have that ability as a church to be able to talk to people, make things right, and continue to bring forth brotherhood and unity. Even if we don't see we've done anything wrong, we're the ones that's hurt. We could still go and say a little something to encourage that person that did have that grievous spirit. It's just as easy is if somebody come up and said something to you, broke your heart, and you tuck tail and run, it's the same thing. We ought to be able to stand there and say, God help you, or God help me, vice versa. God knows all about it. God's in the midst of it. We really need to think about how we carry ourselves, how we talk. We need to be tactful in how we present ourselves. And I'll give you an example of that just real quick and in closing. I knew a man, I think really highly of him. I mean, he's more of a child than he is a man. I remember we went on a trip one day and he was at a gas station. And the man that was there, he was trying to witness to him and all he could say is, Jesus loved you. Jesus loved you over and over. And the man just kept getting madder and madder and he just kept on. Kept on until the man was about ready to take a piece out of him. But he purposely kept on agitating. Now, that's a good example of what not to do. But how much better if it would have just been God loves you and give you some scripture and you have a good day going about your way. How often do we do that with our loved ones and people that we know have lost that we tend to poke and prod and basically drive them away? Yeah, we're sitting there thinking, well, they need God. They need God. Yeah, they need God, but it's going to take God to move, not you. God's going to have to be the one to do it, not you. Think about that, how we present ourselves. People are watching. People are listening, whether we think they are or not. People are paying very close attention to our actions and our character and our speaking, our what we say. People out there are paying very close attention to us. And what we say and what we do can inadvertently affect them in a positive or negative way. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this morning. I pray, God, you bless this time. I pray, God, that you help us, Lord, in making application of this scripture to our life. I pray, God, and ask you, Lord, that you please continue to help us throughout this morning. And ask you to please, Lord, help us to be open and truthful one to another, that we might pray for one another. I pray, God, that you be in the midst of the service this morning. Touch our pastor, Lord. Give him utterance and understanding. I pray, God, that you guide his way, Lord, that you might, Lord, be honored and, Lord, be pleased in what's said and done this morning. And I pray, God, if there's anybody here that's never been born again, I pray, God, you touch their heart and draw them unto yourself. Show them what they are, Lord, that they might be born into the family of God. And I pray, Father, all these things that you get honor and glory. For it is in Jesus Christ's name we do pray. Amen.